This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Bickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the show, we'll preview Governor Walker's budget address, which takes place at 7 p.m. tonight.
This week, we celebrate what would have been the 70th birthday of reggae legend and musical icon Bob Marley. His music is appreciated worldwide across generations, and his influence, musical and spiritual, continues to resonate today.
Whether we first heard Bob Marley in a dorm room or a shopping mall, many of us are familiar with his more popular songs like No Woman, No Cry, I Shot the Sheriff, or the song we're coming in with, Get Up, Stand Up. But a lot of us, including me, may not have heard the more complex, deeper cuts from his extensive catalog.
Well, here with us to share some of his favorite lesser-known Bob Marley songs is DJ FRP, host of Tropical Rhythms on WORT in Madison. DJ FRP, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, both of you. Thank you so much. It's really nice to be able to celebrate or kick off this Bob Marley birthday month, I'd like to call it.
The whole month.
Well, I'll be celebrating the rest of this week with some performances and, of course, kicking things off with this week's Central Time.
So what is it about Bob Marley's music that resonates across generations and continues to inspire us so long after his passing?
Oh, I've heard so many different stories from people who call me up during my show and during the tributes that I've had over the last 23 years to Bob Marley's music, and raising the children and how calming it is for children to listen to it, and how even some parents of autistic children have just sat back and relaxed to the sounds of Bob Marley. So that's just one of the effects there. Of course, there's also the lyrics that are not interpreted by people who don't understand English throughout the world, but knew that there was a message coming through this man's emotion and in the sound of the music, and how it's resonated with people all over the world. It's a mystery to me as well.
And he did so much music. There's so much out there, and he had such an influence, and yet he died at age 36.
Yeah.
How did he pack so much into that fairly short life?
Well, Jamaican musicians are, shall we say, notorious for recording music and putting it out. I mean, there's artists that will release a song, it seems like a song a day. He had quite a few recordings, starting when he was a teenager in 1962, when he first recorded Judge Not, and finished 18 years later with his last performance of Get Up, Stand Up, and Work, which was recorded at a live performance in Pittsburgh.
Now, in terms of some of the lesser-known Marley songs, there's one, Selassie is the Chapel. Let's take a listen before we talk about it.
Take your troubles to Selassie.
And a reference, sir, I'm guessing, to Ethiopian Emperor Haile Selassie. What's the connection between Bob Marley and Haile Selassie?
Well, right around this period, which was June 8, 1968, Bob Marley was reasoning with Rastafarians, in particular Mortimer Plano, who produced this song, and prophecy revealed that the Messiah would return and would be crowned in Africa. And lo and behold, during this time period, Haile Selassie, Rastafari, was born, and this was living proof of the Bible that they were following and studying at the time. The interesting thing about this particular song, I think, and what makes it particularly unique, it was modeled after a country and western song.
Really?
That was first recorded, that was in the 1950s. Yeah, Rex Allen, country artist, popularized the song, and then the Orioles recorded it as well in the 50s, and so did Elvis Presley. Crying in the Chapel is what it's based on. Nice Nyabingi drums coming through, and not uncommon to hear Rastafarians reason to the drums. Mm-hmm.
And I think in my head, when I think of world music from anywhere in the world, I think of this country having its own thing and this country having its own thing. But I guess when you look at reggae music and many other forms, there's this constant like conversation between the Caribbean and the United States and soul music and rhythm and blues. How much back and forth was that for a performer like Bob Marley?
Well, Bob Marley did, of course, come to the United States as an immigrant to work. But before him, there were Jamaicans that would come to the United States and would take back music, of course, to play. But more importantly, everyone had a transistor radio during the time when Bob was growing up. It wasn't uncommon for AM stations in the United States to boost their signal late at night. So the sounds from New Orleans and the sounds from Nashville were not uncommon. And it's still to this day, there's artists that are re-recording country songs from back in the day, or country and Western, not just country songs, but country and Western songs from back in the day. Of course, they were, you know, being brought up by their parents who played these songs and loved and sang to them. And so these songs and music resonated with Jamaicans.
Now, you mentioned Rastafarians, and Marley, I guess, converted is the right word at one point to become a Rastafarian himself. Can you tell us a little bit about what that is and how it influenced his music?
Well, it's a deep spiritual thing. You could ask that to anyone who is religious or spiritual, and gospel singers in particular. What is it that makes you want to write songs that will resonate with others, with other individuals, and how that music affects one? That's a personal thing.
Well, I want to check out another one of the songs we're going to talk about. This one is Soul Rebel, a collaboration I gather with the reggae producer Lee Scratch Perry. Let's give a listen.
See the morning sun. See the morning sun. On the hillside.
Yeah.
If you're not living good, gotta travel wide. You gotta travel wide.
So Lee Scratch Perry, a name I've heard a lot, a legend. For people who know what they're talking about, I don't know his work that much. Can you talk about him and his influence on Bob Marley?
Well, Lee started out as a young youth as a dancer, and would run records when records were pressed, and had his initial start with Studio One, and that's where the paths were initially crossed. Musicians in Jamaica would know of each other. Lee Perry did not start out with Bob Marley during the early part of his career. Bob had some things going on, and in fact he wrote this song in 1968 and didn't cross paths worked with Lee Perry until 1970, when this song was re-recorded. I mean, there's numerous versions of this one. This is my particular favorite because of how Lee Perry rearranged the vocals and has Peter Tosh singing those really low notes. And, of course, the horn section that's on there, you won't find that on any of the other earlier recordings. But this was a pivotal period during Bob Marley's life when he was, coming from the ska scene into something that was called rock steady, which Aretha Franklin sang about. This was just the beginning of reggae music coming out in the late 60s, so what we know as reggae music. So this was huge as far as working with Lee Scratch Perry, who went on to do incredible work on his own. We can do another 2-hour tribute to him and just scratch the surface,
if you will.
Well, his great work, yes.
We'll go next to a live version of the song Burnin' and Lootin', which is taken from a soon-to-be-released live album. Mm-hmm. What can you tell us before we listen about
this
song?
Well, this is a Central Time exclusive. This hasn't been played on the Wisconsin airwaves. I actually talked over it last week during my show. So you'll be playing this for the first time. This is an extraordinary recording. Some say it might be the best live recording or best production of Bob Marley's music since the 1975 live version. And what makes this particular song resonate with me, even though many of you have heard this before, Burnin' and Lootin', the song, is that this song was recorded only 2 weeks after he had performed at the Orpheum Theater here in Madison, Wisconsin, which I had the opportunity to see. So this song is as close to the experience that I had listening to him perform it live for the first time.
So an exclusive there of a soon-to-be-released live album of Bob Marley music. You saw him live. What was it like? What was the experience like that's different from those of us just hearing him on albums?
Words can't describe it. Speechless. It was a deeply emotional experience for me. I had never been to a performance or heard music that would make me cry, and that was the first time that ever happened to me.
Wow.
And when something like that touches you, it's unforgettable.
I've read he had a real physical style too on stage that was kind of unmistakable.
Yeah, he was and dare we say at points in time he would just be overcome by the music and become a whirling dervish, and on the other hand, he would just go over gently to his backup singers and put his arms around them and sing with them in unison, and playing drums and just sit down. So there was this rhythm that would happen from the beginning up until the climactic end.
As we mark the 70th birthday of Bob Marley, new material still, live material still being released. We can keep revisiting his work even today.
Absolutely. In this particular package, this live version, Easy Skankin in Boston, which is scheduled to be released on the 17th, will also include a 45-minute video as well as some animation that fits in with this. And this will give us an idea of what it was like when he performed here in Madison back in 78.
Oh, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about it.
Thank you for having me, Veronica.
We've been speaking with DJ FRP, the host of Tropical Rhythms on WORT in Madison.